The Holy Epistle for the third last Sunday of the Christian Church year from the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So far the reading, you may be seated. In the name of our Lord. The Lord of the church says to us through his apostle that he does not want us to be ignorant about an important aspect of the faith. And therefore he provided his readers, both ancient and modern, with revelation from God, the uncovering of those things that we could not know except for the fact that God has made them known to us. He carried out that work of revealing through his chosen instruments, through the prophets and the apostles. To them he gave by inspiration the thoughts and the words that they should record. And wherever and whenever the faithful confess their faith, using the words of the Nicene Creed, they confess that the Holy Spirit has spoken by the prophets, and that the spiritual fellowship to which they belong is the one holy Christian and apostolic church. The writings of the prophets and the apostles provide the foundation on which the holy Christian church is built. By the revelation given through the prophets and the apostles, we can assert in matters pertaining to the faith, we have the Word of God, which is clear and authoritative. Speaking through the psalm writer, Christ himself declares centuries before the time of his coming in the flesh, I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. I have not hidden the righteousness of God within my heart. I have declared the faithfulness and salvation of God. I have not concealed the loving kindness and the truth of God from the assembly of the faithful. In other words, he is saying, I do not want the faithful to be ignorant. I am declaring to them the Word of God. I am making it known to them. This work of revealing and declaring defined the work of the Messiah Savior in his office as prophet. He was and is the revealer and the proclaimer of the Word of God, and he chose his prophets and apostles to give to us that revelation which we need. Earlier in the same letter to the Thessalonians, the apostle had written, we thank God without ceasing because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. What is it, then, that the Savior through his apostle wants us to know in these last days before his imminent return for judgment? His specific point here has to do with those whom he calls the ones who have fallen asleep, that is, those who have died in the faith. Here the apostolic word shows us clearly what we are to believe about those who have departed from this life in the faith. The essential content of the faith has to do with the death and resurrection of Christ. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, the apostle writes. In those few and clear words, we have the essential content of the second article of the faith. Those who go to their deaths in this faith have fallen asleep, he says. They know that it took extreme measures to deliver them from sin, death, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil. That work of salvation required the most profound level of divine intervention in human affairs. It required not just a hero, not just a role model, not just an inspirational figure who could provide example, advice, and encouragement to those who are willing to try hard enough to save themselves. It required that the Son of God take to himself human flesh and blood, and that as the God-man he should experience the full force of what divine justice required. He became the very focal point of the searing heat of the wrath of God against human rebellion. And after carrying out that purpose to perfection, he rose from the dead and declared victory over death and everything associated with it. This great gospel truth has been established for all time. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Salvation has been won for all mankind. There's nothing to be added to it. The gospel simply invites the faith, which claims as its own everything that the death and resurrection of Christ accomplished. By such a faith, death becomes a falling asleep from which the faithful wake up and arise to eternal blessedness. When the Lord returns in glory, he will bring with him those who sleep in his name, the apostle says. He does not want us to be ignorant of these things. There is this inseparable connection between the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the faithful. The apostle treated this theme at length in his great resurrection chapter, the 15th chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians. There the apostle mightily refutes all those who deny the resurrection. He leads his readers through the issues step by step. If there is no such thing as resurrection in general, he says, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then all Christian preaching becomes empty and useless. And if this preaching is empty and useless, then so is the faith of those who believe it. If the preacher is false, then those who believe are fools, and they are still in their sins. And those who have died believing will remain hopelessly in death. If it is only for this life that we cling to some kind of deluded hope, then we are of all men most pitiable. And then he comes to one of those dramatic transitions. But no. The apostle asserts Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And when he comes again in glory, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. They will hear the most blessed invitation that the human ear can ever hear. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But death remains for us grim and bleak. The apostle calls it the last enemy to be overcome, and so it will be for us. When death claims our family members and our friends, we will experience bereavement. We will all learn to mourn. Our Lord made that clear on the night in which he was betrayed. He told his disciples, I say to you that you will weep and you will lament, while the world rejoices, and you will be sorrowful. You will experience those things. In a fallen world, it cannot be otherwise. But he also says through his apostle, I do not want you to be ignorant, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Where there is faith in the heart which says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there is also hope. God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus and the hope of resurrection to eternal life, this is a powerful combination against sin, death, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil. The apostle's conclusion is this, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let us all pray. Please rise. Almighty and everlasting God, by your dear Son, you have promised us forgiveness of our sins and deliverance from eternal death. We pray that by your Spirit you will daily increase our faith in your grace through Christ and establish us in the certain hope that we will not die, but peacefully sleep and be raised on the last day to eternal life and salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.